Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
And so no trip to Wexford would be complete without checking in with its most famous hotelier and GAA legend, both as a manager and a player. He also may need to be addressed as doctor, as he was recently awarded an honorary doctor with the Southeastern Technological University. Dr. Liam Griffin, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Now,
I wanted to also introduce you to another Wexford legend, but Ivan Yates turned up instead. Welcome, Ivan Yates.
Thank you.
Now, Liam, we'll start with you. We're here, and you know this place well, far better than I do, but in terms of your own beginnings in Wexford, parents had the place in Rosslare. You bought it off your father, I think was a guard,
yeah.
And it all moved along swimmingly since then.
First of all, this is a fantastic facility for Wexford, and it's a great, really, really good opportunity for any entrepreneurs around to come and use it. And this is a not-for-profit basis run by the great Mr. Ed Murphy over there, who has done a great job, and it's not-for-profit, and that's, I think he deserves a round of applause for that. That's fantastic.
Let's talk about the building for a second, Liam. This is a business that you'd love to have as one of your premises because there's no ESB bills here.
Yeah, I wish I could connect up to it.
It's all up front.
No, it's fantastic. I wouldn't mind connecting with itself and get free electricity. But by the way, we built our own electricity job in Mallard.
Did you?
We have and the fields, yeah.
And maybe you might explain then for non-Wexford listeners, because there are a few of them, where Monart is from here, Liam.
Monart, well, I find it difficult to explain how to get there at this stage.
Over there somewhere, isn't it?
You go on the New Ross Road and turn right off the New Ross Road, yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's in a nice location out there, yeah.
Yeah. I was looking at it last night, and I actually stayed there last night, had a wonderful stay there, and I was intrigued by the beauty of the old house, and then, I don't know when you did the first building job there, but the way that the architecture was so sympathetically built on to match, and the beautiful pond out the back, and it's just such a tranquil place.
Yeah, well, we picked that. Obviously, we were looking around to do something, and we wanted to do it in Wexford. This is where I'm from. We wanted to do another job in Wexford, and to be honest with you, we were trying to create a niche market because I could see the whole collapse of lots of parts of the hospitality industry, which we were involved in ourselves. So we built a niche market, and you know, we don't do births, deaths, marriages, communions, confirmations.
No kids.
And some of the builders said, who the heffing fella is coming into this place? If you're not going to let anybody in, it looks like you're not going to let anybody in. So, but we had to go for a niche market, and we felt that's what we should do when we know something about the business, so that's what we tried to do.
So it's a true destination, and then you've marketed it as such.
Yeah, well, what was happening back in the end of the 90s with the tax breaks for hotels and all sorts, like you knew that get the numbers up because you can't keep just manufacturing the same. It's like sausage factory, like everything being the same and everything in a hotel the same. And that didn't work in my opinion, so we went for a niche market, and that's what we did. And thank God it's been very successful. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Okay. Well, stay with us. Let's talk to my former colleague and old friend and local native here, Ivan Yates. You're very welcome to the programme.
Good to see you, Bobby. You're very welcome to Enniscorthy. I moved out of Dunleary, where you live, where it's your yachts and other. I'm not surprised you're staying in Menard. Most ordinary people couldn't have possibly afford to stay in Menard. But anyway, I'm sure you're going around in your toga and all of that, enjoying the spa there. A fantastic facility. So in
the image of me in a dressing gown drinking a pint of Guinness isn't great, Ivan.
After I had successful litigation in January 2020, was the last of my bankruptcy, I got my two homes and 35 acres back. So Deirdre said to me, this was in January 20, And I had done 3 years on the hard shoulder. And she said, well, I'm going to give up teaching in Glenageary and I'm going to move back. And I said, who's going to dress me or feed me? So I had to, in July of 20, give up all my jobs on Virgin and on News Talk. And I've come back here. And now I spend 3 days a week in Dublin on the 6:20 train, which is good. We could greatly, I firmly believe that it would transform the Eastern Corridor if the train ran as far as Bray and you get on, as you do in London, get on the Dart. Like the last
train. Is there not plans to change?
Well, put it like this. They're not fast enough and not big enough because the last train is 6:38. Like I did a gig in the Pierce Lyons distillery the other night. It was over at 7 o'clock. So I had to get the late bus home. Do you know, the bus service is very good here, but like you've got to think in terms of Arklow, Gorey, and escort the on the train line, that commuter services are vital to the growth of this area.
But if you think about something like Rosslare, that should have been, you know, got a whole new boom since Brexit.
It did.
All the, so, like, there's rail infrastructure there.
No, and they're doing a massive redevelopment. Yeah. I remember since the 80s, Liam was an absolute champion. He wanted a kind of Svadco set up for Rosslare. But actually, in fairness, an Irish Rail, CIE, their own Rosslare, have been laggards. But I'd have to say, in the last few years, what is it, 20 million they're spending on it now? It's really...
Oh, it's a lot more than that. Yeah. A couple of 200 million.
It's there's seven new sailings. You see, the land bridge of UK has changed with Brexit. It's just too much red tape. So they're going directly to the continent. So and it's been a boon to Rosslare.
Yeah.
It's been a boom to Rosslare that should have been there 40 years ago, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's just, it was a laggard and it allowed other people to go into Cork and that. So it's just, it's a shame that it wasn't earlier. But look, it's arrived and hopefully it's going to go well.
Yeah. And well, the point I'm making is that the, at least the rail infrastructure is there. So, but you would have thought that, you know, as night follows day, that, you know, better services, commuter services along all that line from Rosslare the whole way in, surely are a no-brainer.
Well, in my view, I mean, you could build an extra 10,000 houses in Enniscorthy. Like, that gets the footfall up, so every service business here.
Yeah.
And I think that we should have a welcome on the mat. This has transformed Gorey. Gorey has been colonised by Dublin, and not in a bad way. A lot of people sell their home for 700 grand in Dublin, SMED in Clontarf, and come down here.
300 in the back pocket.
Exactly.
And off
exactly.
you go.
But like it has worked well. And, you know, all of those services, as you know, here in St. Sennans, there's 57 new apartments being built. Like in itself, construction is a huge industry, and I do a lot of work for the CIA.
We know that. I'm glad we negotiated a cheap fee with you.
Yeah, well, Saturdays are expensive.
You owed me a few favours. Tell us about the podcast, because
yeah, it's gone great.
You know, I tried to do a few podcasts, but you can't make any money out of them.
Well, I Matt Cooper, who's a money hound, he's the best paid broadcaster in the country. He only admits to $500,000 a year. But anyway, the story, he does the business end of this with a fellow called Noel Kelly. So now, for the price of a pint, and not a pint in Dunleary, but €6, we have a massive subscription service. So like, we did have sponsors along the way. It is hard to monetize podcasts, but we have over 30,000, regular listeners.
Where do you see that whole, I suppose, industry going? Everybody can have a podcast now something.
Well, first of all, the great advantage of podcasts, like it is, I couldn't believe it in the Olympia. Everyone was in their 20s and 30s. Well, I thought it'd be old fogies like you and me. The fact of the matter, no. So traditional, like if you take BBC, they're putting 1,000 staff into Bristol, into BBC Sounds. The future of RTE is on the player. People do not want to listen to the show, this show, at the time you're putting it out. But they might be going for a walk this evening, and a bit like Screen 10, they can listen to it any time, the podcast. But the point I'm making is that it's much more accessible. Print is dead. Print is going to die a death. And I said that with sadness because a lot of good journalism, people do not want to pay for news and information. They want it, but they just don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, well, I think there's probably been moves in that, you know, the sort of paywalls.
Yeah.
People are actually subscribing to them now, whereas you wouldn't do them because you thought, because any good content Like, it's like anything, you have to pay for it.
But the traditional news talk, so I'm working with Sean Defoe. In fact, this morning I had to leave it because we do an election Bible, 43 constituencies. So the next stall will have 14 more TDs than the last stall. I expect the election will be the 15th or the 22nd of November.
We are calling it
constituency for all 43.
Let me stop you there because that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you. You're saying the 22nd of November.
I'm saying the 15th or the 22nd. But if you ask me to put money on it, I would say Friday the 22nd.
Friday the 22nd.
Which does not suit me because I'm doing News Talk the Saturday and the Sunday morning. And I'm doing the Derby from Shelburne Park on Saturday.
I hope the fees are good.
Well, they are. Yeah. Before Patricia left, she got out the checkbook. So that's all. Hey, I have to get my head around 540 candidates. There is an enormous amount of work in it.
Oh, yeah?
You go from Sligo, Leitrim. There's 12 constituencies, Dublin, 5 in Cork. Like, the level of detail. And the Electoral Commission did a study on those who vote in June. And the people say, you got this wrong, get that. 40% of people who went to vote decided in the last 24 hours who they're going to vote for. So if they don't know, how can I know? But I will give you a fair idea who'll get it.
Pundit is with us. Liam, maybe last word to you. You're a proud Wexford man.
Sure.
In terms of Enniscorthy, you've probably heard our conversation with the businesses, the great businesses that are here, the community, the shops, the retailers.
Yep.
In towns like Enniscorthy, would you be hopeful for their future?
I would be, because of, I mean, what Ivan has just said there with the Gorey. I think that the next thing, the next place down the road is Enniscorthy, and I don't see any reason why that get a lot of traction from the Dublin people as well. Now, Rosslare is absolutely besieged by people selling houses in Dublin for money that you couldn't even think of, and coming down to Rosslare and buying all the houses.
I never thought the D4s would get such a welcome down here. This, like,
as long as they pay their way, Bobby, you know.
All right, folks, two legends, Ivan Yates and Liam Griffin.
Thank you very much.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.